nightmare, Muriel is, said Ron, mopping his forehead on his sleeve. She used to come for Christmas every year. Then, thank God, she took offence because Fred and George set off a dung bomb under her chair at dinner. Dad always says she'll have written them out of her will. Like they care. They're going to end up richer than anyone in the family, right there going. Wow, he added, blinking rather rapidly as Hermione came hurrying toward them. You look great. What was a tone of surprise, said Hermione, though she smiled. She was wearing a floaty, lilac-coloured dress with matching high heels. Her hair was sleek and shiny. Your great-aunt Muriel doesn't agree. I just met her upstairs while she was giving Fleur the tiara. She said, oh dear, is this the muggle-born? And then bad posture and skinny ankles. Don't take it personally. She's rude to everyone, said Ron. Talking about Muriel? Inquired George, re-emerging from the marquee with Fred. Yeah, she's just told me my ears are lopsided. Old bat. I wish old Uncle Bilious was still with us, though. He was a right laugh at weddings.
Wasn't he the one who saw a Grimm and died 24 hours later? Asked Hermione.
Well, yeah. He went a bit odd toward the end, conceded George. But before he went, Loopy, he was the life and soul of the party, said Fred. He used to down an entire bottle of fire whiskey, then run onto the dance floor, hoist up his robes, and start pulling bunches of flowers out of his...
Yes, he sounds a real charmer, said Hermione, while Harry roared with laughter.
Never married, for some reason, said Ron.
You amaze me, said Hermione.
They were all laughing so much that none of them noticed the latecomer, a dark-haired young man with a large curved nose and thick black eyebrows, until he held out his invitation to Ron and said, with his eyes on Hermione,
You look wonderful.
Victor!
She shrieked and dropped her small beaded bag, which made a loud thump quite disproportionate to its size. As she scrambled, blushing, to pick it up, she said,
I didn't know you were... Goodness, it's lovely to see. How are you?
Ron's ears had turned bright red again. After glancing at Crumb's invitation as if he did not believe a word of it, he said, much too loudly,
How come you're here?
Fleur invited me,
said Crumb, eyebrows raised. Harry, who had no grudge against Crumb, shook hands. Then, feeling that it would be prudent to remove Crumb from Ron's vicinity, offered to show him his seat.
Your friend is not pleased to see me, said Crumb as they entered the now packed marquee. Or is he a relative?
He added, with a glance at Harry's red curly hair.
Cousin, Harry muttered.
But Crumb was not really listening. His appearance was causing a stir, particularly amongst the Vela cousins. He was, after all, a famous Quidditch player. While people were still craning their necks to get a good look at him, Ron, Hermione, Fred, and George came hurrying down the aisle.
Time to sit down, Fred told Harry, or we're going to get run over by the bride.
Harry, Ron, and Hermione took their seats in the second row behind Fred and George. Hermione looked rather pink, and Ron's ears were still scarlet. After a few moments, he muttered to Harry,
Did you see he's grown a stupid little beard?
Harry gave a non-committal grunt. A sense of jittery anticipation had filled the warm tent, the general murmuring broken by occasional spurts of excited laughter. Mr. and Mrs. Weasley strolled up the aisle, smiling and waving at relatives. Mrs. Weasley was wearing a brand new set of amethyst-coloured robes with a matching hat. A moment later, Bill and Charlie stood up at the front of the marquee, both wearing dress robes with large white roses in their buttonholes. Fred Wolf whistled, and there was an outbreak of giggling from the Vela cousins. Then the crowd fell silent as music swelled from what seemed to be the golden balloons.